Hello. Hey, Dr. Burke.
All right, we'll put you on mute. Hey, Jeremiah. All right, we'll put you on mute. All right, welcome to the show. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Good evening. Welcome to another evening of Dr. Cliff Burton Friends, featuring the absolute very best in all of women's sports and HBCU athletics. And tonight, I'm going to open up the mic. I'm going to let you meet our co-host tonight. Let's start, Chantel Spinas. She's been with us every week, been with us for a year and a half. None other than Dr. Marlo Kemp. Tell everybody, hello, Dr. Kemp.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the show. Glad to have you and hope you enjoy it.
All righty. And then we also is welcoming to the show. He's from Music City, and he is also, this is his time of year, he's a basketball coach. We call him a basketball genius. None other than Coach Stephen Wright. Tell everybody, hello, Steve.
Good evening, everybody. You're too kind, my brother. Hope everybody's doing well.
All right, now. All right. Yes, Steve. All righty. And coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to interview and introduce a tremendous young man from Fisk University, Jeremiah, in about 10 minutes. But let's get started. Moment of silence. And we'll get started with our world news before we get to Mr. Armstead. 10 seconds.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Jeremiah. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
All right. Good evening. Again, we'll introduce Jeremiah Armstead in about 10 minutes. So let's start. Now, we're all news tonight in the Middle East. We know what's been going on over there in Israel and also in Palestine. Over 30,000 lives have now been lost in Palestine. We know this was a conflict that started a few months ago when Hamas attacked, and now Israel attacked. The issue is now that also these issues have spread to the United States. There have been protests all over the country, and here at Columbia in New York, several students have now been arrested and even being suspended and expelled from school because they have threatened to disrupt graduation. And so, Steve, I'm going to come to you first. Everybody else should stay mic. Stay mic. Put your mic off. But, Steve, I'm going to come to you first. Tell me, what do you think about what's going on in Palestine?
You know, it's an awful situation that's going on. Anytime you have factions fighting to the death, and really, they've been doing it for what? How many years? Hundreds? Mm-hmm. Thousand years? And it's spilled over now because, you know, the college campuses like Columbia, USC even had to cancel their main stage graduation because of the protest. And someone was saying that a lot of times when you bring in law enforcement, it makes the situation worse. You know, and if it's peaceful, that's fine. But they said a lot of times you bring in the police force, it gets ugly. You know, people are arrested.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's just sad in this time of year and when the kids are getting ready to graduate. And that's going to be in jeopardy for some places. So, yeah. And the thing about it is that they're not going to stop fighting.
Yeah.
They're not going to stop.
Yeah.
They're not going to stop.
Dr. Kemp, your thoughts on this subject? It's about a few seconds away. Tell us what you think.
Thanks, Dr. Burt. I totally agree with what Steve said. This conflict has been going on for a very long time, since biblical days, and it's going to probably continue. And it's just sad that they can't protest peacefully, or at least to the point where they don't have where it's becoming violent by them breaking into schools and then jeopardizing the students that have worked hard which means that their commencement is going to be jeopardized. We totally understand that you know whatever side you are on protesting, we understand that, but you definitely need to keep it a peaceful protest because your words won't be heard if it becomes anything else.
Yeah. And also, Dr. Kemp, if classes of seniors' graduations are canceled this year, this is the same class 4 years ago in high school that had their graduations canceled because of COVID. So we need to do everything we can to have these graduations and keep things peaceful. But I do understand students want to protest about what's going on here in Columbia, in New York. They want Columbia, the college, to divest any investments they have over in Israel, the Palestinian students. So we'll see how it goes. We'll keep up with it, and we'll stay on top of it. But we won't want to just forget about this issue, okay? Now, there's also a case, somebody we want to notice, and that is a boxer. He was 27 years old. His name was Artie Ndembo of the Congo. He was fighting in Miami approximately 2 or 3 weeks ago. He was knocked out. He was undefeated, but knocked out this night, went into 3 weeks of an induced coma, and recently died. And it just reminds us of how dangerous boxing is with all the thrills we see. And we just want to remember Artie Ndembo and the members of his family. He was a father too, a brother from over in the Congo. He fought for the Congolese boxing team. So, Steve, just your thoughts, on this young man, along with our prayers for him.
You know, I just hope that God will bless him and his family, even though he's gone, and keep them at this time. And he's got two kids, and I'm assuming they're probably very young. And it's just a sad situation. You know, boxing is such a dangerous sport that I watched a fight about 2 years ago, and the corner guy was a boxer, and a good guy, I think it was McGirt, was the corner guy. And it was a very competitive fight, and I thought they might throw in the towel, and they didn't. And then McGirt did throw in the towel, which I thought he did in a timely manner because the fight was so competitive. I mean, the boy wasn't just getting beat. It was competitive, and he did. Well, the boy fell out, take him to the ambulance, of course, quickly, had to give him oxygen, and then he later passed away. And I know McGirt, you know, I'm probably getting his name wrong. I don't know if it's McGirt or not. But, you know, like I said, I thought he stopped it in time because it was a competitive fight. Yeah. And this young man, like you said, was undefeated. So if he's getting beat, the referees know he's undefeated. They're going to give him a chance to work his way out of it. And a lot of times that'll backfire.
Yeah. We'll keep him in our prayers. Thanks so much, Steve. Thanks so much on that. That's a great point. Our celebrity birthdays, we're going to get to just a few on tonight, and then we are going to get on with this tremendous interview with this young man from this university. But let's talk about this one. I'll start with Dr. Kemp. I want to say hello also to Renee Spencer, who's in the audience tonight, this university basketball Hall of Famer. But Dr. Kemp may want to know this one. He was born in April 4-6. Everybody knows him from Ladies Things the Blues, but then now the older ladies know him. I don't know about this newer generation, Mr. Billy D. Williams. Dr. Kemp, give us a rundown. Billy D. Williams.
Billy D.
Real quick rundown.
Okay, quick rundown. I do remember Billy D., one of those actors that you used to love to see in the movies, even as a young lady. I used to always see why my mom and aunts and all of them used to, want to see him act. one of those actors. Of course, we know him as from the Star Wars movies. He was in, of course, Lady Sings the Blues, Mahogany, just to name a few of the movies that he was definitely in. Right. And, of course, earned numerous awards and honors as well. And then he actually became a painter, in his older years. But he's definitely one actor that we won't forget at all. Great actor.
All right, now, Mr. Billy D. Williams. Next one, I'm coming to Tim. He was actually born in Dr. Tim's hometown of Chicago, but he was a member of the Bad Boys. He was born April 30th. So today, happy birthday, Hall of Famer, Mr. Isaiah Thomas. Jim, give us some words for the great assistant, the Hall of Famer, Mr. Isaiah Thomas. Jim?
Isaiah Lord Thomas III was born on April 30th today in 1961. He won a title with the Indiana Hoosiers in 1981, came to the Pistons. There was a story that Jack McCloskey was interviewing him, and he was saying no to everything. And Jack finally said, you know, we're going to draft you if you're available, so you better get used to it. And boy, he did. He's a Piston for life. Love him. Won titles in 98 and 99. 99 and 90, I'm sorry. And, you know, he's very active in the community. Gone on to coach and be a GM for the Knicks. Mm-hmm. Right now he's advising Matt Ishbia with the Phoenix Suns. Mm-hmm. So, very important person in the basketball history, Isaiah Lord Thomas.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Arguably the second or third best point guard ever.
See, that was his name. Thanks so much, Jim. Thanks so much, Jim. All right. Tonight we have a special young man comes to Fisk University a few years ago from California, and just as inspired, not just Fisk, but inspired the world. His story is incredible. Most people couldn't withstand the day of it, but he has overcome some challenges of homelessness and poverty. but he would never give up. And so just a few years ago, we educate, bring in mind, CEO Stephen Bernstein, also another organization, Sisters of Watts, Ms. Keisha, and got in touch with Kenny Anderson, who was coaching at Fisk University. And all of a sudden, this tremendous young man at Fisk University, his name is Jeremiah Armstead. He's a recent recipient of the Perry Wallace Award for his courage. He's the first from an HBCU and an NAIA school to receive this award, and he's freshly back from the Final Four. And we want to welcome to Dr. Cliff Burton, friends. We've got about a 15-minute interview, none other than Mr. Jeremiah Armstead. Jeremiah, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for having me.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's so good to have you on the show, Jeremiah. Just tell us, you know, what was it like the year or two, I guess you would say, before you come to Fisk, and all of a sudden you look up, and the number two pick in the 1991 NBA draft is your coach, and you're at the school. But tell us how you got there. Tell us about the organization that blessed all of us at Fisk to have you with us.
Okay, so a little bit about myself. As you said, I was homeless for 4 years. Well, my whole high school, I was homeless out in Long Beach, California. My senior year, so once my senior year ended, it was in the summertime. So I say it's around August 2nd, August 1st, we got in contact with, my mama got in contact with Stephen Bernstein from We Educate Brilliant Minds. How she got in contact with him was through Sisters of Watts, who was helping my mom out with my sister. You know, my sister, she's 14. She do a lot of music and stuff like that. So they would help my mom out with my sister. So Stephen Bernstein basically came in. He seen how just my character, how good of a person I was and everything. He said, okay, we want to give him to college. Me and my mama didn't think I was going to be able to go to college just based off of, I've really only been in high school for about 2 years. I've been to 7 different high schools. So I wasn't eligible to play basketball until my senior year of high school just because of how many high schools I've been to. Mm-hmm. But I applied for Fisk maybe like August 3rd. I got accepted the 4th, and then I flew out there the 7th, which was the first day of school. So everything happened like real fast for me. Everything happened real fast.
So you get the 5th, you register, and yes. I guess you were around. I want to tell you, you're at home tonight because you have, I'm a Fisk guy, James is a Fisk guy, Steve went to Fisk and Tennessee State. Dr. Kent went to Tennessee State. So everybody's familiar with them. So, you know. Mm-hmm. But when you first get to campus, what is it that it stood out to you the most about Fisk? All of a sudden, you're away from home. And what makes you say, hey, this is the place for me? Because you've been there 2 years now, correct?
Yes, I'm a sophomore right now. Well, I'm finna be a junior coming next spring. Well, next fall.
So what stood out to you when you first got there 2 years ago?
When I first got out here, like, what stood out to me, like, the Southern hospitality. Like, I was born in Atlanta, Georgia, but I was raised in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I didn't move to California until I was a freshman in high school. The Southern hospitality is huge out here in Nashville. Like, everybody's just very welcoming. I don't know if it was because of my story, just that's just because of how everybody is, but everybody was so nice and welcoming, and, you know, it felt like home. So, coming from a place where I didn't have a home, I just had my siblings and my mama. That's something I really needed. And I got a great support group out here already, and I'm just building on that. You know, they help me stay level-headed and humble and keep my mind right when it's not right. You know, when I'm thinking about certain things, they help me get my mind off of it.
Yeah.
And I'm very appreciative for that.
Yeah. Tell me about, and I know you're going to be adjusting again, but playing for Coach Kenny Anderson, like we all
agree.
This guy, we grew up watching him back mm-hmm. in the day. I'm sure you heard about it.
For sure.
Just tell us how did Kenny help you adjust to college and Coach Anderson, excuse me, and how was playing for Coach Anderson?
Well, I used to watch Coach Anderson. Well, I used to watch my coach growing up. He really helped me, like, not even we could talk about basketball, but just being a better young man in general, because he came out the same circumstances that I came from. You know, he was homeless and sometime like in high school. So he gave me a lot of knowledge and insight as to how to manage it, you know, being an athlete, being a student, you know, trying to get everything done for my family and everything. He just brought me a lot of insight with that. And basketball, man, I done learned so much from him. I done learned so much. That's really going to help my game for next year, you know, because this is only my third year playing basketball on this level. Like, I didn't start playing basketball until my freshman year of high school. I wasn't eligible to play in an organized game until my senior year of high school. So I'm 3 years of experience, but I'm already growing at a rate where a lot of people wouldn't be growing that. And I think that's just because my coach is Kenny Anderson and I'm surrounded by good teammates who want to help me learn and help me become a better player, which I'm already doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to ask one more question. I'm going to open it up for our co-host as well. What are you interested, I guess you're about to become a junior coach that. So where are you leaning as far as your studies and your future? Because Jeremiah will become very clear, and I mentioned briefly a few years ago, I don't remember on campus, but you always have to be thinking ahead. In order for you to get to this, when you were back in high school, you had to have a vision ahead. So where's the vision 2 years from now when you finish this? Where do you see yourself going and what do you see yourself doing?
So I major in kinesiology, which is like sports medicine. I done made, for the past 2 years, I done made so many connections with that. And recently I just met the AD over at Vanderbilt, got some connections with their sports trainers and everything. So like, I know what I want to do after college, and I know it's going to involve sports medicine or in that, you know, that field of, you know, just basketball, whether I'm training somebody, you know, helping somebody get the body right and stuff like that, you know? So I already have a lot of connections with that stuff, and I'm just building on that right now. Like, I got an internship this summer, you know, and I spoke to a lot of people, and they say I'm already ahead because I'm a sophomore doing this. So just, I think I'm going to be good. I'm going to be good. Well, they making it to where it's kind of hard for me to fail, so.
I'm going to open it up to Jim Waddell, James Waddell, fifth grade, class 85. Jim, open up and let's talk to Jeremiah. Jen? You got to unmic Jim. Dr. Kemp?
Sure. Thanks, Dr. Burt. Jeremiah, it's so good to have you here on the show with us. Thank you for just taking out your time. I know this is around finals, so we greatly appreciate you coming on the show with us.
I finished all my finals.
Oh, good. All right.
Great. So I want to first commend you, your family, especially your mom, on the courage, the perseverance, the integrity, everything that you all have gone through in the past, which definitely has helped you get focused and get where you need to be, and you will definitely do great things in the future. There's definitely no doubt. We know that.
Yes, ma'am.
And I just want to ask you, how did you enjoy going to the Final Four?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
That was experience. Amazing. Well, for one, I got to go with my little brother. My little brother, he's 18 years old, so we're not – growing up, they thought we were twins. We're not too far off from each other, only a year and some change. So I got to go with my little brother, got to show him a different side of, you know, life that he didn't get to experience, and he really enjoyed himself. So my little brother enjoyed himself. That's really that was the most important thing for me on that trip, because I was telling the Associated Press a few months ago, my brother, well, in December, while I was out there on the break with him, my brother had a seizure, and seizures were running my family. So, you know, my brother, he really ain't got to experience life yet or really experience anything. So I wanted to make sure he got to see a certain side of life that he didn't get to experience, and he really enjoyed himself. So like I said, that was most important for me. But other than that, you know, going out to Arizona for the Final Four, that was amazing. I got to experience some great basketball, and I got to tour Arizona State University, which was amazing. I got to see all their history and everything. So that was big. That was big. I had all around great time.
All right,
let me see. And I got an award. You know, they gave me the coverage award. I got the award. That was my first time getting an award for anything. You know, I ain't never. that was just it was surreal.
Yeah, Jeremiah, you're familiar with, let's just go through this. Per Wallace, I'm sure you're familiar now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he was the first African American basketball player to play in the Southeastern Conference. Mm-hmm. And he came from an old black high school. It's not there anymore. Around from Fisk, known as Pearl High. So
yeah, I went there. Yeah.
Yeah. So to get that award, hey, you know, Yes, sir.
Yeah. I got the book on everything on his history. I didn't start reading it yet. I'm going to get on that this summer. But I went to Pearl High School a couple weeks ago. I got the tour. That was big. I seen where he played at and everything, and all his accolades, awards. You know, he was actually valedictorian. So
yeah,
the way he was just, that's just impossible to be valedictorian and to do what he did in basketball. In that time that he was in, you can't ask no more of a young Black man, you know? So I know. I tip my hat to him. You know, that was amazing.
Fair was amazing. For sure. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Jim, mm-hmm. Got a question, Jim?
Well, Jeremiah, I heard you say that in the fall you will be a junior. Brother, once you finish your finals, you are a junior now.
Yeah, I'm a junior. Yeah.
So,
already there.
You know, enjoy. What are your plans for the summer?
I got an internship at Vanderbilt. I'm gonna be in a pro-am this summer. I was in a pro-am last summer, but I didn't really play a lot because I was coming off an injury. I had broke my ankle around April last year. So I was coming off an injury and I didn't really play a lot in the pro-am, but this year is completely different. I'm a lot, you know, I'm healthy, a lot better. So it's gonna be fun to experience the pro-am fully to get the first game. But I got the pro-am, I got my internship. I fly back to California to go spend some time with my family on the 17th. And then that's when I get my summer started when I come back. So I got a busy summer pretty much.
There you go.
All right. It sounds like you're going to enjoy it, though.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Most definitely.
All right.
All right. Listen, before we go to Steve, Jeremiah, I want to talk a little bit more about the organization we educate brilliant minds. In particular, another Skype CEO, Stephen Bernstein, is doing such tremendous work with many youngsters. And as a mentor, as a leader, just give us some of your thoughts because you work directly with Steve and tell us about it and the great work he's been doing.
Well, he's been doing a great job with me, especially because he's made sure I didn't have to really pay any money these past 2 years. My college is so far has been paid off and working to get the rest paid off. So
yeah.
He's been doing a great job and I've been learning a lot from him. You know, he went to Fisk, graduated from here and everything. He played baseball for Fisk back when they had a baseball team. You know, they don't have one no more. But I learned a lot from him and he helping a lot of kids. Like I think at the Black College Expo in California he got like over 60 kids to get applied and they got accepted. So
yes, you know,
just stuff like that, you know. He all around a good person.
Yeah, I'm gonna come to Steve Wright, Coach Steve Wright. Questions, comments for Jeremiah. Steve?
Jeremiah, first thing I'd like to say is how much I admire you. I knew a little bit about your story from I think they did something on you maybe a year or two ago, yes, and sir. So I was familiar with your story a little bit, but just amazing story, and you've got a book in you too. So you might want to write a book one day. But I remember taking kinesiology when I was in college, and I know don't laugh, Marlo and Cliff and Jim. There were some subjects I did like. Matter of fact, my favorite subject, and I don't know if you'll take this or not, but you would have probably enjoyed, was epidemiology. And I loved epidemiology. And
I haven't even heard of that one.
Oh man, it's like a disease detective and everything that goes on. If you ever seen the movie Outbreak or Contagion,
that's
what the epidemiologist does. But as far as your family, do they want to come south and move here now that you're here?
Yeah, we trying to work on that. You know, my mom, she got okay. So They done ran a story and everything, and I'm grateful for that. But my mom didn't get housing until November of last year. So from my freshman year college until November of last year, my family was still homeless. Now, the way that they got housing, they got housing through Section 8. So their Section 8 contract is up. Well, not up, you know, for the first year. They have to stay for the first year. So that ends in August, I want to say. So we trying to work around, like, getting them out here and everything. My mom is very open to it because she haven't seen me play basketball yet. She ain't seen me play yet. So my mom, that's one thing she wanted to see. So she wanted to come out here, come to some games, and we're going to get her that next, this year. So,
yeah. Now, you're a small forward?
Small forward, yes, sir.
Yeah. Did you get a lot of playing time this year?
Not a lot. I played in 13 games. I didn't get a lot of playing time throughout the games, but I got enough for a nice highlight tape.
Yeah. And now y'all going to have to find another coach.
Yeah.
Now that Coach Anderson is gone. You know, I met Coach Anderson a couple of times. I really liked him a whole lot. And, you know, I'm just, you know, hoping that everything works out for the best for him. I would apply for the job, but, you know, I didn't know if you knew this, Cliff. They offered me that job in 97 or 98. Mm-hmm. They offered me that job, and I couldn't take it because I was working in Metro school system, and my mother was a superintendent, so she said, you can't do that because you have to take off and go play games, and you'll be doing that, and you'll be missing work. And that's when my father took the job.
Yeah.
And, you know, I do it now, you know. There ain't nobody going to call me.
Thanks so much, Steve. Jeremiah.
Yes, sir.
I know you said you finished with your finals. We're going to take a commercial break. You want to stay around and do the rest of the show with us? We got NBA, we got women's sports coming and everything. Can you hang around and do the show with us? We love it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to take about a minute. We're coming right back. We're here with Jeremiah Armstead, this university Bulldog basketball player and recent Perry Wallace Award winner. Yeah. Back, Dr. Cliff Burton, friends, featuring the absolute very best in all of women's sports, HBCU athletics. We cover all five HBCU conferences. We're here this evening, co-hosting with all our co-hosts, but a few are not here. We don't have Ms. Joelle Bowles, Hall of Famer from Fisk University. We want to mention her. Terry Williams, a Hall of Famer from Virginia Tech and former WNBA draftee, and Jeff Butts. So we have three of our crew not here tonight, but we definitely want to mention them. We also have 22 engaged listeners in the line of county and 6 listeners in the chat room. We want to thank our audience for spreading the word about Dr. Cliff Burton's friends before we go on. This past week, in our 78th episode, we had a record number of downloads, the number of people who have downloaded our show. We had 133 total downloads in the last 7 days. So the show is going, y'all. The show is going. Let's talk about our Women of the Month. One of them is Miss Toni Stone. We've been talking about her all month. She was the first woman to play professional baseball in the 1950s in the Negro Leagues. She knew Hank Aaron, Sasha Page, and she endured sexism. She endured racism, but she would not quit. And she would later, as she retired, she would pass, leave a legacy. But she is nothing but a trailblazer. She is known as our Women of the Month. We have one a month. None of them. Them is Toni Stone, y'all. Toni Stone. Yeah. Great month with her. Secondly, we always recognize a women executive in sports in the Bluff. Yep. They're about to start another season. Miss Kia Clark. She is CEO of the New York Liberty. She handles budgets. She does all of our hiring. She's involved in everything in our organization. She's been there for the last 12 years. There's no doubt that the Liberty are right on the edge of getting back to the championship again this year. And we want to say thank you so much for leading the way. Women executives of sports, none other than Ms. Kia Clark. Yeah. I'm going to ask Dr. Jeff. Give us a word. Quick word on both Toni Stone and Kia Clark.
Oh, Dr. Bird, I will definitely be remembering these two ladies, especially Miss Toni Stone, the first one of the African-American female professional baseball players who can throw you out on first, go home, and make some biscuits for you or your, or, and her husband. So we definitely enjoyed reading about her this entire month and how she, how they were actually afraid of her in the league because she was one of the best.
Yes, she was.
Ms. Kia Clark, the CEO of the New York Liberty, is definitely continuing to do things. We look forward to seeing what she will bring out in the Liberty, which almost took home a championship last year, but the Aces got them, but that's okay, but because we know that they're going to be ready, and New York and the East Coast area are going to be fired up because I know she's going to work her magic to make it happen.
Oh, yeah. Ms. Kia Clark, Tony Stone, they've done a great job for this month. Now, here's the big announcement. Tamika Reed, the championship, four-time champion in the last 6 years, Jackson State University SWAC Conference. She built a tremendous record there. And two times in the NCAA tournament, she played Moki to the Wire. And this year, she played Coach Gino Auriemma. And she accepted a different position at UNC in Charlotte and now has left a vacancy at Jackson State University. But Tamika Reed is one of the best coaches in the country. And so, Jim, tell us what you think about that. We knew it was a possibility. Here's another coach leaving, but she's a great coach. Tell us what you think, Jim. I'm Mike Phillips.
Again, we are losing another coach of HBCU quality, excellent head coach, to the PWIs because of money. You know, I'm not going to, you know, I'm it's sad, but I, you know, I'm happy for her.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the coaching business, though, this is a, it's not a typical job. You move up or you can stay. Very few people stay a long time. So, Jim, one of the four replacements that they're talking about replacing her with, or at least her interest, is our coach, Jackson, from West College, three-time GCA champion. It's one of the four finalists, or at least interest. What do you think about this, Jim?
Well, it'd give us a shot in the HBCU conference next year. But, you know, and having said that, I'd be happy for Coach Jackson because he deserves it. He deserves.
Yeah, he's one of the four finalists. And so, you know, let me ask Jeremiah if he's familiar with Tamika Reed down there at Jackson State. Jeremiah, are you familiar with Coach Tamika Reed?
At Jackson State? No, sir.
Okay. She was playing a little bit to me. Down there, about 150 wins, 50-something losses, and she won four out of the last six SWAC championships. And so people didn't know it, but Deion Sanders was not the winningest coach on their campus when he was there. It was Tamika Reed, but she's moving on now to UNC Charlotte. Okay? All right.
She won four out of how many?
She won four out of the last six. And
I don't
think she lost a conference game in the last 2 or 3 years. Yeah, she's dominated.
She went on the run.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did. Uh-huh. All righty. Here's another big announcement. Just a few days ago, Candace Parker is retiring from the WNBA, three-time WNBA champion. She's been on several All-WNBA teams. She's been an MVP a couple of times, college two-time National Player of the Year, Tennessee, two national championships, probably one of the best all-around players to ever play. Steve, Candace Parker, what's your thought?
You know, she is probably, I would say, I don't think it's a stretch to say that she's one of the top 10 women players that we've ever had. Mm-hmm. She was 6'4", and she was versatile. She could play in, she could play out. She wasn't a three-point shooter, but, you know, she didn't have to be. She did everything else well. But and I remember the first time she got hurt was before her freshman year at Tennessee, and she had the red shirt that year. And she didn't tear an ACL or anything. I think she tore her meniscus, and it was something else she did, but there weren't ACL tears or MCL or whatever CLs. But she had to retire because of injury. This latest injury to her foot, mm-hmm. it's been too hard for her to come back and recover from it, and she can't give it her all. And she said when she knew she wouldn't be able to give it her all, then she would know that it was time to leave. But she was a three-time WNBA champion. She led the University of Tennessee to two national titles, seven-time WNBA All-Star, two-time WNBA MVP. She also played some ball like a lot of our women do overseas.
Yeah.
And she captured some titles over there. So she has been such a decorated athlete. She had to take off one time because she was on maternity leave. Yeah. And so when she came back from maternity leave, she was still, you know, a great player, you know. So it's just, and I know that I was shocked because I know that she said maybe a month ago that she was going to go back and play with the Aces again in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And so when that came across, I was shocked. But then I saw the reason why, and I said, okay, it makes sense. You know, you know what your body can do.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But she was great. Hats off to her. I loved watching her play.
Oh, yeah.
Had a career average of 16.6 rebounds and 4 assists for a career.
Yeah, Renee says outstanding, and she's absolutely right. Now, we have another athlete who's returning to a sport. She's returning after being away 8 years. We already know Simone Biles is coming back for the Olympics this summer. But Gabby Douglas just returned to competition, and she's already qualified in two events to go ahead to the final qualifying round to make the Olympic team. But Dr. Kemp, I think Gabby's 28 years old, and she's been away for a little while. What's your thoughts on Gabby Douglas returning to gymnastics, trying to make the Olympic team? Boy, her is going wild. That'd be something. What do you think, Dr. Kemp?
What a phenomenal gymnast. I really hope that she is able to make this Olympic team. Her skills, she still has it. If you see her practicing up on the beam, and all I can say is I wish I looked like Gabby and could perform like Gabby, I guess in my mind. But she is one heck of an athlete, and I definitely hope that she will, make that team. Can I just quickly make a comment, Dr. Bird, on Candace Parker, one of the great commentators that's going to be around with us, who also brought the Chicago Sky, the first championship, as well as some other teams. And she was definitely from Illinois. Steve, just wanted to mention that.
All righty. Candace Parker. Oh, yeah. All right. We want to say this for HBCU sports coming down the pike. We're coming down the pike in softball. And so this week, as we speak, April 29th through I think May 2nd or 3rd, is the SIAC Softball Championships. We'll have the results for you next week. May 3rd through 5th is the CIAA Softball Championships. Now, we'll have those winners for you next week from the conferences. And then we're going to give you the rundown, Division 3, Division 2, and Division 1, because winners of these conferences will go on and play in the Division 2 National Softball Championship. So we're going to bring it on to you next week. We're going to take a commercial break, and then we're going to come on back, and Jim will give us a rundown on men's SIAC baseball, D1 baseball, and so forth. So we'll take about a minute's break. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. All right. Pamela Renee, she's a qualifying broker, founder, CEO, 2870 Peachtree Road, Suite 992, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. Pamela at BRenaeEstates.com, 404-964-4294. If you're looking for residential, commercial, land, builder, developer, or investment services, again, that's BRenaeEstates.com. And yes, we want to welcome our 36 engaged listeners now, an extra 12 in the chat room. Welcome to Dr. Clifford and Friends, featuring the absolute very best in all of women's sports and HBCU athletics. Jim, turn it over to you. Got a mic, Jim. All righty. We'll go on and we'll talk about, Jim is getting a mic there. We'll talk about what's going on in the NFL draft. One of the topics this time is that in the 257 players taken in the NFL draft, there weren't any selected from an HBCU. Now, several will be signing as a free agent, but this is the second or third year that not one player was taken from an HBCU college. Jim, do we have him yet? All right, he's trying to get back in. Steve, what are your thoughts on not any HBCU players taken in the draft, NFL?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Yeah, not any players were taken in the NFL draft out of the 257 selections. Not any were taken from an HBCU. What are your thoughts on that? I think we have Jim with the staff too. But Steve, go ahead.
Well, you know, I think it's a lot to do with exposure because we definitely have the talent. And I don't think it's enough emphasis put on there. That's one thing about this show, your show, Dr. Burton. It emphasizes our kids as HBCU universities. And that Deion Sanders brought a lot of attention to Jackson State, which also benefited the SWAC conference. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we have to get have our kids looked at by these scouts and seeing that they can, because they're always a lot of diamonds in the rough at these HBCU schools.
Absolutely.
And just hopefully they can get a fair shot, you know, like everybody else does. And, you know, because, like, if you can play, they'll find you. Absolutely. And we have a lot of guys out there that can play. So hopefully this gets better in the future, you know.
Yeah. Let's see if we can get Jim to unmute himself. Come on in, Jim. Can we get Jim?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. So we're talking about, and then we'll go back to the baseball, but we were just talking about tell us about the draft. We know not the HBCU players were drafted, but tell us how the draft went in the first round with all these quarterbacks and stuff.
Well, we did not have any players drafted, but we had 11 players that signed with teams.
Okay.
You know, Sundiata Anderson, DD out of Grambling, signed with Seattle. Brandon Collington, a DB out of North Carolina Central, signed with the Jets.
All right, all right. Mm-hmm. All right, there's some more. Jim, give some more. I think he's having some technical difficulty there. Okay, so we have quite a few players that are signing as agents. And we're going to keep up with all those names next week as we begin to make sure that the kids make the team. That's the bottom line. There were some key players last year that played, I believe, for the Kansas City Chiefs defensive back who made great plays.
Signed with Green Bay.
All right, come on, Jim.
And let's see. Michael Chris Ike signed with the Jets. Terrell Jennings signed with the Patriots. Isaiah Major signed with the Saints. Jeremy Moose, a quarterback out of Florida A&M, signed with Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. And Savannah State Morgan's Trevion Priot signed with the Titans. Now, noticeably missing from these signings is the quarterback, Davius Richard, from North Carolina Central. Now, I'm hoping he's just playing his options, trying to sign with the best chance to make it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, Jim, tell me about some more in the first round now from a PWI. It was a quarterback smorgasbord in that first round. Tell me where some of them went, like the kid out of USC, and tell us how you think they're going to do. Let's talk about some of the top 10 drafted in the NFL draft. I think we're losing Jim again. He's having a lot of technical difficulty tonight. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back. And Steve, let's get ready for the NBA, and also let's talk about the legend, Coach Lenny Wilkins, okay? We'll call Steve with the NBA. Let's take a break. We'll come right back. All righty. Thanks. All right. Welcome back. Dr. Clifford and friends featuring the absolute very best and all the women's sports and HBCU athletics. We also want everybody to type in the chat. Steve, let's give a detail. Let's bring us up. The NBA finals and playoffs are here. No Steph, no LeBron, and KD all out.
What do you have? Well, Steph didn't even get into the real deal this year. They had some problems. The Lakers were ousted last night by Denver. They lost their series 4-1. And the thing about it is the Lakers were up every game, one game by 20, one game by 15, one game by 12, one game by, and they were in the games to the end. And Jamal Murray in two games hit buzzer beaters. Well, last night wasn't a buzzer beater, but it might as well have been because the Lakers didn't have a timeout left where they could advance the ball, so they had to take it out, and there was a desperation heave from half court from the Prince guy. But Minnesota took care of Phoenix 4-0. Ant-Man, Andy Edwards, it's been spectacular in these playoffs. Cat Towns has been great. Gobert, Mike Conley still playing good. They're a well-coached ball club. Looking to see them in this next series with Denver, it ought to be really something. And, yeah.
Now, I know they're good, but what's going on? That team in Phoenix was supposed to be a threat for the championship when you put Beal with KD and there was another guy that he really played.
Devin Booker.
What happened to Phoenix this year? They seem like they're kind of
Devin Booker put up 47 last night. But the main thing that happened to them, they started off the year, Beal was injured. So he didn't start the year with them. Then he comes back, then Booker gets hurt. Mm-hmm. Then KD gets hurt. So they really didn't start playing their first games together really meaningfully until after the All-Star game.
Yeah.
And they've got three great players, and then everybody else on that team is a role player. The Allen guy got hurt and missed the playoffs for him, the kid from Duke. Eric Gordon, he's good, but he's older now. And injuries have taken a toll on his body, and they've got big Nurkic. They've got some people on the bench that they won't play. I'm telling you, Bo can play, but nobody will play him. I don't know why. Maybe I'm not at practice every day. But they've got too much money tied up in those three players. It's going to be hard for them to get some people to come in. I mean, the Lakers are actually in a better financial situation than Phoenix.
Yeah.
We'll see. And OKC swept New Orleans. They didn't have Zion, but they were going to beat New Orleans. I don't think would have been 4-0, but they were going to beat them. They've got a good, well-coached team led by a star Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, who he's averaging 27 right now in the playoffs. Trust me, it's getting ready to go up and up and up.
Yeah.
And then out in the West field, we have Dallas, who is tied at two games apiece with the Los Angeles Clippers.
Whatever that game. Hold up, Steve. Let's talk about that game. And I don't know if Dr. Kemp or Jim, I want them to jump in on that too. Let's talk about who I think, if he could ever keep his head all right, to be one of the greatest guards to ever play. They lost, I think. Kyrie Irving, the show he put on yesterday.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
That Uncle Drew stuff is for real. Kyrie Irving, that Uncle Drew stuff, that's for real. Yeah. He turns into Uncle Drew when he wants to, and it's nothing you can do. He is so skilled and talented, and he's a sneaky good athlete, but he can shoot the ball. But he's probably got the best handles
ever,
because he does stuff at full speed that, you know, is ridiculous.
Let's bring Dr. Kemp in, Steve. Dr. Kemp. What's your thoughts? Kyrie Irving, he's playing with Luka down in Dallas. They lost yesterday, but he put up, I don't know what he put up, Steve, some crazy numbers. What's your thoughts on Kyrie Irving? Because, you know, Steve, we were frustrated with him when he was up here with the Nets, but he's a talent. Dr. Kemp.
I was just going to say that, Dr. Bird, when he was up this way on the East Coast, he just, you know, just kind of got in his own head and just didn't perform like we thought that he should have performed. And like you said, he didn't perform with the talent that he has. But oh, I'm glad that at least he's showing up in Dallas and helping them at least have a good series with the LA Clippers, which, you know, I'm split on this series because Kawhi.
Oh, boy.
Kawhi. I love Kawhi, but come on, Kawhi. And Harding. So we'll see what happens. But I'm glad that he's finally showing up. And like Steve say, no telling what's going to happen in the next game.
Go ahead. Steve, also on this series, let's take it to the other side. What do you think about the Clippers? I mean, how many times did James Harden make the same move in the fourth quarter yesterday?
He made the same move and scored off of it six times in the fourth quarter. The same move six times, got in the lane with that left hand and shot that floater. They were trying to force him right. That didn't work for some reason. It should have. And he got by them and shot that floater. That put the game away. But then Paul George, playoff P, hit some big shots.
Yes, he did.
He hit some big shots. Yes, that one fadeaway he hit in the right corner.
Yeah.
Oh, that was garbage right there. But that series, Kawhi is not going to play in game five. I'm sorry, Marlo, have to break that to you. Now, matter of fact, they said they might put him down. You know, they said Steve Ballmer may take him in the hallway and put him down like they do horses.
because he has not done anything since he won the championship in Toronto.
And he's getting $157 million.
Haven't they won two without Kawhi and lost two with him?
They have. James Harden, like Cliff said, that move he kept, same move six times in the fourth quarter. I'm like, he was just dropping them off.
Yeah.
And they've got a pretty good team, even when he's not playing, because they do have some decent role players, you know, Powell and Zubac and Mann. And I don't know why nobody plays Bones Highland. He can play, but they won't play him. But it's getting tight. And right now, as we speak, with 6 minutes in the third quarter, the Sixers are up two on the Knicks.
Yeah.
So we'll see, because Joel Embiid, he's incredible. He had 50 points two games ago, and he's really playing on one leg.
Yeah.
He is just dominant. But so in the East, that the Knicks are up 3-1. Orlando and
I didn't know. I knew when he came from Dallas, he was good. I didn't know Brunson was this good for the Knicks. Oh my goodness.
Neither did I, and neither did anyone else, but probably him and his father. Because when he was at Dallas, he could play. I mean, when he came off the bench, you knew, okay, we still got it. He can do it. I think one year he averaged 16 off the bench in Dallas.
Yeah.
But he's great.
He put up, what, 40, 50?
47.
47, yeah.
47. And the thing about it is the first two games, his shooting percentage was down. He was 8-for-26 one game, 8-for-29 one game. I said, that's not going to last. He's going to get on in Philly, and he's going to be blowing them away. And that's exactly what he was doing.
Yeah.
And but he, like you said, Claire, we knew he was good, but he's great. He's at another level. And like I say, they are up three games to one, so got a good chance to put them away tonight. Now they did lose Bogdanovich.
Yeah,
I think hurt his foot, so he's done.
Yeah,
he's done. So, and of course, you know Randall's not going to be coming back. Speaking of that, Brunson just hit a three to put him up one.
Hey, Bogdanovich wasn't doing much anyway.
He won't play him. Why wouldn't he play him? I don't understand that.
He can't play defense. Well, their coaches
pride
on defense.
That's TFA. But you know what, Jim's gonna haunt him. The same thing we said late on this playoff series is not having Quickly.
Yeah,
that's gonna come back. You know, deeper in the series, that's going to come back and haunt him, because I know you're getting a little bit out of Miles McBride, but it's not. Quickly was a player.
All right, let's go on. Two other series, because I want to get to Lenny Wilkins as well, and I'll talk about that. But the Miami series, and then, of course, the Milwaukee series. Let's talk Miami first, Steve. Is that one about over with Boston?
That one will be over tomorrow. Porzingis got hurt.
Yeah.
He's going to miss tomorrow's game for sure. But, you know, they've got some filling pieces that can, you know, hold it down a little bit for him. They're not going to be him because, you know, he's a unicorn. So that's going to be a tough act to follow up on. But I think Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown will have big games tomorrow and go ahead and close out the series against Miami because Miami's just got too many injuries, and you know, other than Bam Adebayo and Tyler Hero, you know, right now that's about it because
Jimmy Butler's out. Yeah,
Butler's out, and Rozier hadn't played either. So
Let me ask Dr. Kemp. Do you think this is Boston's year with Tatum to get a championship, Dr. Kemp?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh yes. I don't mean to be short, but he's one of my favorite players too. Yes.
Tatum, okay. And they got a good point guard there, not just a Porzingis, the big man, but they got the Holiday, who's a very good point guard. So if they can stay healthy, I think Boston has what it takes to get over the top. They got the best record. Steve, what's the other one? Indianapolis, are they for real? We know Milwaukee's banged up. Indianapolis.
They're for real. Even though Milwaukee's banged up, they are for real. They are explosive, and that's why I love to watch them play, because Rick Carlisle understands offensive basketball. They run it on you when you miss. They run it on you when you make it. They spread that ball around. There are plenty of shots to go around for everybody. And this series, and really near the end of the year, they had picked up defensively. Mm-hmm. And what they did about two games ago to Damian Lillard when he was lighting them up, mm-hmm. they probably started sending somebody else at him, making him give the ball up, which more people should do if somebody's, you know, knocking you in the head like that. So I think they're for real. And, you know, you're going to have to deal with them. Yeah. And then you got the Orlando-Cleveland series tied at two.
Yeah.
The coach for Orlando, I think he's a really good coach because their guard play is, I wouldn't pay to see them play. You know, I mean, if somebody said they were down at the Y playing, I wouldn't go down there to play against them. Yeah, I mean, it's just not like, you know, it's just, you know, so I think he's doing a really, really good job. But Marlo, I think that this is Boston's year because even if Denver makes it, Denver gave up, you know, a lot when they gave up Brown and it was one other guy they gave up. But that's going to come back and hurt them. And look here, Oklahoma City is good enough to really get in the finals. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they will, but anytime you have SGA and the way they play the game and everything, I don't think Minnesota has enough. I know Ant-Man and Carl Anthony Towns are going to do that thing, but I just don't think they have enough. But it's going to be these series are going to be getting better. The next round is just going it's going to be more intense. So, you know, you just don't know. It's almost like, and it's crazy, but it's almost like having parity in pro basketball, which you seldom have. You about know who's going to make it to the finals.
Yeah,
every year when the season starts. Yeah. But this year, I thought the Lakers would make it, and they're going to be deciding on Darvin Ham's future in the next couple of days. So they don't know if he'll be back or not. I'm assuming he will not be back though. Mm-hmm.
Steve, we talked about John Thompson. We talked about the coach of Temple, John Chaney. We talked about several coaches. One of the great, and he's still living, who has developed the NBA, and that as a player and as a coach, he's been inducted in three times, three different areas. But give us a summary while we get ready to close up on Lenny Wilkins, the legendary Lenny Wilkins.
You just said it, legendary. And one of the most respected, not only players, but coaches this league has ever seen. And like you said, he's been inducted in the Hall of Fame as a coach, as a player, and as an assistant Olympic coach.
Yeah.
So he went to Providence College where he graduated in 1960. Mm-hmm. And went to the pros. He was the eighth pick that year, and to St. Louis.
Yeah,
and he had a 15-year career. He was one of the first players that was hired as a player coach.
Yeah,
during his time, but he had a 32-year coaching career on paper. It's just coaching, but it was actually longer than that. He won 1,296 games, lost 1,109 games. He's 86 years old.
Yeah.
He and his wife, Marilyn, have been together, I think, 62 years. You know, that's a lot of years. So, he's listed as one of the 15 greatest coaches in NBA history.
Yeah.
And Providence retired his jersey, and he was the only player at that time whose jersey that they ever retired. And then in 1979, the pinnacle of his career, when he won the NBA championship, the NBA championship with the Seattle Supersonics, with Gus Williams, Downtown Freddie Brown, Jack Sigma, Lonnie Will,
Dennis Johnson.
I mean, they were a great team. Dennis Johnson and Gus started, and then Freddie Brown would come off the
shoot threes.
But his NBA career is nothing to sneeze at. He had a 15-year career with a 16 6.5 points per game, average of 4.7 rebounds a game, and 6.7 career assists
yeah.
game. And for a while, he was only behind Oscar Robertson when he retired on the all-time assist list. Of course, a lot has changed since then, and a lot of people have passed him. But, Cliff, I don't know if you remember. You remember when we had a game and we were at the gym? We were in Atlanta, I think, and they practiced. Remember?
They sure did. Yep.
And
they came over to Morehouse.
Watched them practice over at Morehouse.
Yep.
Because I think we had a shoot around, and it was amazing how disciplined they were, how they went about just even stretching, how they were, how serious-minded they were. And you could just tell how much that they respected him because of the way they carried themselves in that gym.
Dr. Kemp says, Steve, who do you think Coach Wilkins is rooting for right now in the playoffs?
Oh, shoot. I would have to say,
they're no longer Seattle team right now.
Yeah, I would have to say if his heart is in it, Marlo, it's Oklahoma City.
Okay, all right.
Because, you know, that used to be the Seattle
okay.
side. Right. Mm-hmm. And when Jim's good friend Steve Perry was with Seattle, I talked to him when he was with Seattle then, and he was asking me about one of my players because they were thinking about taking him in the draft. And not too long after that, they went to Oklahoma City. So, Marlo, it might be Oklahoma City because of the change
yeah.
from Seattle to Oklahoma. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, Coach Booker, thank you, Steve. Was a class act. Thank you for everything. This is the time of year. Now for June, NBA, before we get into a lot of NFL shows. We do have a special guest coming, though. May 21st, this time of year, first of all, congratulations to all of our graduates, high school and college. Her name, she's from East Orange, New Jersey, and her name is Miss Fatifa Salam. I want to make sure I get it right. I will by then. She is a graduate of Maryland Eastern Shore in the CIAA. She's an educator. She was also bowling champion, and she's a guidance teacher here. She does something special in high school, and I had a chance to see it. They don't have college fairs only in the fall, but they have a college fair in the spring. And there are juniors, sophomores, freshmen, and they even invite eighth graders, and they invite all the colleges. So students get there early, over 250. She's going to talk about her philosophy. She's a tremendous educator, very smart woman. She's coming on the 21st of May, and it's just going to be a blast to talk to her. We love our educators. They mean the world. They're everything. And so we're going to have a good time. Jim, do you have anything for us as far as your show Saturday morning? Jim?
No. We were on last week. We actually did a press conference for the Pistons to hire Scott Perry today.
All right, tell us the name of the show again for our listeners. Tell us the name of the show again for our listeners.
It is Wake Up Call Detroit.
Okay.
With Horace Sheffield.
All right. So, guys, we've had a great show. We're going to be right back here again next week. We're going to be covering softball. We're going to be covering track and field. We're going to bring it all to you. We want to say thank you, Mr. Jeremiah Armstead. He had to get out tonight. But, what a tremendous story. What a tremendous young man. We'll keep pulling for him. And we will see everybody back in 168 hours from now. Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.